speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
You know, we live in an age today where God's Word is constantly under attack. Those who are not friends of God, who do not believe in God, or who are of a liberal mindset, who might even claim a belief in God, are constantly attacking what it is that God says in reference to a number of things in Scripture. One thing that is under attack time and time again, especially by those of the feminist movement, is what God has to say with regard to women. Many believe that as they read and study from the Bible, that God ignores women and that God does not like women, and therefore He's constantly, through His Word, just overlooking them and not giving them any place in the Scriptures. Others, though, contend that women are misrepresented in the Bible and that they're looked at in a negative way, that they're spoken of in a very condescending manner. But friends, biblically, that is not true. The New Testament Scripture reveals to us that women play a very important role all through the Old Testament and into, specifically, as I mentioned, in the New Testament Scripture. And God also identifies through these leading ladies, if you would, the role that women even play today. As I think about the way in which God presents women in the Scripture, we find is that they're oftentimes, in the New Testament anyways, praised for their deeds as well as their attitudes, their many workings in the church, and they're presented as examples for women today, for us to be able to understand the way in which God does see women and the prominent roles of which they are to be actively involved in as members of the body of Christ. As I think about ladies and the role that you play in the church as Christians, to begin with, I want to begin looking back at the life and teachings of Jesus Christ and to consider some of the leading ladies in His life during the time in which He walked upon the face of the earth. To begin with, think about the home of our Lord. I believe that Jesus was raised by a good and loving mother. Mary, I believe, is a very beautiful person in many ways. The Bible makes it very clear, without any question at all, that she was devoted to God. Not only was she devoted to God, I believe also Joseph, her husband, was devoted to God. But not only do we find a devotion to God, a belief in God, and 100% commitment to God, conviction to our Heavenly Father, we also understand that she was devoted to her family. She cared about her family. And I believe that there are a number of passages that would bear this out, but none any more so than what we find in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 51, where Jesus and His family have traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover. And as they're returning back home, Jesus is not in their midst, and Mary is concerned because she cannot find Jesus. And we know the narrative tells us that Joseph and Mary return back to Jerusalem and they find Jesus in the temple. Friends, in this we have identified for us the love that this mother had for her son. And no doubt Jesus experienced this love, and He also then loved His mother. Why do we know this? It's not because it's explicitly spelled out in Scripture. Jesus didn't come out and say, "I love Mary, my mother," but rather what we find is when Christ is getting ready to die on the cross, He looks to the disciple whom He loved and says, "Behold your mother." He is placing His mother's care into the hands of this disciple whom He loved. He is giving this one the responsibility of caring for the woman who loved Him and now expressing, I believe, in a very real way, the love that He had for His mother. Also, though, think about the Lord's social life. He was surrounded by many caring females. One in particular that I want to talk about tonight, and that is Peter's mother-in-law. Yes, Peter was married. The Bible tells us that, and in this, we also know then that he met the criteria that God says one must meet in order for them to serve as an elder in the church. He served as an elder in the body. As we think about Peter's mother-in-law, I believe that we find a lady who was a servant to the Lord. Why do I say that? The Scripture tells us that Jesus healed her, and what did she do? It doesn't say that she got up and went her merry way, but rather the Scripture tells us that she got up and she served Jesus. And what a beautiful example, what we find in regard to her about what it means to serve the Lord. God does so many things for mankind here in this context for Peter's mother-in-law, and this lady in return wants to serve the Lord. Also take into consideration an individual who sacrificed for the Lord and for the cause of our God. Remember the poor widow. The one who was destitute, if you would, is what we might look at her from a world standpoint. The Scripture identifies is that as Jesus was sitting at the treasury, observing what individuals were casting into the treasury, this one poor widow came and she gave two mites. Very little, in comparison, no doubt, to what others were casting into the treasury. And what's so special about this lady? The Scripture says that she gave from her poverty and she gave all that she had. She understood what it meant to sacrifice. And I believe the Lord identifies this lady in His social life, if you would, for the sake of showing that there were women during His day who were willing to sacrifice everything that they had because of their love and commitment for our God. But also think about the Lord's personal ministry. He was assisted by godly ladies time and time again. The Samaritan woman at Jacob's well in John chapter 4. Remember the context that Jesus is offering her a water that is much better than the water that she's able to draw from the well. Why? Because if she draws the water from the well, she's still going to continue to thirst and need to go back for it. And Jesus says that He is able to offer her water that will more than quench her thirst, but that will fill her up spiritually, if you would. Friends, this woman was greatly impressed with Jesus. So much so that whenever she gets an opportunity to go out and back into her village, she tells others of the great things that the Lord has done. And as a result of her bidding, as a result of her telling her people about the Lord, the Scripture says that many believed on Jesus, on the Lord, because of the things that she had shared with them. This woman was indeed an individual who helped Jesus proclaim that He is the Messiah. But then also we have Martha and Mary, according to what we read in the book of John chapter 11 and verse 5. Martha and Mary were individuals who assisted the Lord time and time again during the time of His personal ministry. And then we have, in the context of the book of Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through verse 3. In this context, we have Mary Magdalene, we have Joanna, we also have Susanna, and the Scripture says many others. What did these many others do with these other ladies? They said that they provided for Him from their own substance. These women were very material in regard to the work that Jesus Christ our Lord was doing. But friends, also we find some leading ladies again at the cross. At the cross, we are given a picture of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And where is she? The Scripture tells us that she stood by the cross. Why was she standing by the cross? Because Jesus had no doubt stood by her. Jesus had exemplified a love for her during the time in which He dwelt upon the face of the earth. And this is her Son, and therefore now she's standing beside Him. And standing beside Him, I also would contend that she's standing with Him for everything that He represented while He was here upon the face of the earth, and also that which He was representing as He's given His life there on the cruel cross of Calvary. And then later, in the book of Mark chapter 15 and verse 47, we have Mary Magdalene and another Mary, and the Scripture says here is that these individuals are observing the Lord. And we find is that Jesus Christ, as He was dying on the cross, is comforted by a wealth of women. What is it that God is trying to reveal to us as we would think about these leading ladies in the life, in the earthly life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? To begin with, I believe that God sees ladies as being equal in the kingdom of God. They are equal in a number of ways. To begin with, in terms of salvation, the Bible says that there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. Every one of us has a soul that dwells within us, that is a part of us here, and will dwell eternally. And that soul, whether it is a male or a female, is equal in the sight of God. But also, I believe from an intellectual standpoint, God has created us as equal. And we have some who are not so bright from a male standpoint and some also from a female point of view. But when we think as a whole, God has created all of us to be able to think and to reason and to learn and to use those things within our lives to the glory of His name, but also for our benefit. But then also tonight, as we're speaking in reference to their roles, I want us to understand that women have very vital roles to play in life, but as it would relate to the kingdom of God. Yet the Bible does identify to us is that there are different assignments in serving God. Women are identified in the New Testament Scripture that God requires them to be submissive, and they are to be submissive in the home, and that the husband is to rule in the house as the head of the home, and the woman then, in her love for the husband, and also, I might add, her love for the Lord, would be submissive, placing herself under the rule or the authority of the husband. But it's not only in the home that God has established this, friend. The Bible tells us that in like figure in the church, is that God expects the woman to be submissive to the male members who have the responsibility, the obligation, and I might also say the privilege of leading the congregation in New Testament worship. And the role of women is much different than the role of men. Why? Because that's a way in which God has created or designed us. You see, women have been designed in a very unique fashion as they were created by God. The Scripture tells us that the woman was taken from the side of man. Hence, man was created first and woman created second. And why was she created after man? I believe to show man, to begin with, the importance of having a good and godly woman in their life. It's only after Adam is giving names unto all the creatures that it dawns on him, if you would, where is my companion? Where is my helpmeet? And as a result of that, then, the Lord causes a deep sleep to come upon this man, and it's from the side of him or his rib that woman is formed. And then in this, in like figure, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20 that from Eve came she became the mother of all living. But yet in this, as I think in regard to the uniqueness in regard to the way in which they have been designed or created by God, the Bible does say that she is the weaker vessel. And again, I've already said, and I will stress it again, not from an intellectual standpoint, but rather from a physical standpoint, from a strength point of view. Now, having said that, I will say that I have seen some women that are quite muscular. And there's no doubt that as I'm getting older, they could outdo me on some things. But as a rule, I believe that God identifies is that the man is more of a masculine, more of a muscle-based individual than what the woman is. Why? Because God has created man to be the breadwinner, if you would, within the home. But then also, as I think about the way in which God sees the ladies in the church, and ladies also as a whole, there are a wealth of opportunities for ladies to glorify our God throughout the course of their life here. In her home, she can glorify God. In the congregation, there are great things that she can do to the glorification of God's name. But friends, also, she can have a very positive impact upon the world. What is it that women can do, should do, must do, from a Christian standpoint? What is it that God requires of them in the home? To begin with, I believe that they can lead their home unto God through the love that they will demonstrate. I was reading in preparation for the sermon tonight, and I want to share something that I found on Facebook. Actually, my sister shared this. So if my sister shared it with me, I'm going to share it with you tonight. It says, a little boy and his mother were crossing a river. The mother says, please hold my hand. The boy says, no, Mom, you hold my hand. At this point, we might be saying, what's the difference? Note what says. The mother, what's the difference? The boy says, if I hold your hand and something happens to me, chances are that I will let go of your hand. But if you hold my hand and something happens, I know for sure that you will not let go of my hand. A mother's love is so amazing. One individual says, my mother has taught me so much throughout the course of my life. He says, she taught me about tornadoes. She came into my room one time and she looked at the wreck in my room and says, there's no doubt a tornado has gone through this room. Another one says, my mother taught me a lot about religion and prayer. She says, whenever I spilt grape juice on the floor, that you better pray that that comes up. Moms, the children, and even your husbands are listening to what it is that you have to say. And they're watching every move that you make. And therefore, while they may not adhere to or follow the instructions or the examples that you're setting forth today, and I hope and pray that they will, while they may not though, at some point in time we would trust that that seed is there, and hence they will walk according to the will of our God because of the example that you have set forth. But then also, I believe that ladies in the church today are able to edify the congregation of which they are part of, taking into consideration Phoebe, as is presented in the book of Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 6, I believe is the context. The Scripture, as Paul is writing to the saints at Rome, he says that she is a beloved sister. She is a member of the church. He recognizes her as an equal. And then also, he says that she is a servant in the church. How? Because she has assisted others. And he says, you assist her. Note the way in which she has assisted others. Here's what Paul says. She has been a helper of many. Tonight, I hit the Greek language to find out what helper means in this context. And it means one who protects, one who supports, and one who's even a sponsor. Friends, that's big if you think about who's writing this letter. Paul is writing the letter. And Paul had been assisted, I believe, by Phoebe. He had been not only financially assisted, would be the implication, but even possibly protected by this sister against those who were opponents of God. But not only would Paul have experienced the blessings of this lady in his life, he says many have been helped by this woman. Ladies, you help this congregation at East End in so many ways. You help us in our song service to bring us that balance that we need. You help us as we have classes. I was thinking this afternoon about in our younger classes, most of those classes are taught by our ladies. And therefore, you touch the lives of our children here at East End long before they ever come into the classes that are taught by the men. Long before they ever come into the class of the auditorium that's taught by the men. You lay the foundation that will help them understand the love of God and that will build a faith and assist them then to become productive citizens in the kingdom of our God. But then ladies also, according to what I believe God teaches us, is that you can help change the nation by your godly example. Take into consideration Lois and Eunice. Lois is Timothy's grandmother, Eunice is his mother. And the Scripture says that because of their faith and teachings that they had taught and sown into Timothy, the faith, the true faith, of what Christianity is all about. And friends, what do we know with reference to Timothy? Timothy helped to change the world during the time in which he was going out working with the Apostle Paul. Yes, he had a profound impact upon the church, and that within itself could be talked about on our last point. But on this point here, think about the way in which this man's teaching and working continually as a gospel preacher impacted the world around him. And ladies, the seed that you're sowing today with your children can help to change our nation. And our nation needs some changes in a godly manner. And I want to encourage you tonight to keep working with your children to that very end. But then also, I believe that leading ladies in the church today can have an impact upon the universe through the influences that they have. You know, I think about Jesus. And somebody says, well, now wait a second, this isn't a fair example because you're talking about Jesus. Jesus served as an amazing individual who changed the universe, didn't he? It's through Jesus Christ that salvation is extended. And yes, that is Jesus. But at the same time, He lived and dwelt here upon the face of this earth, not only as God, but also as man. And this one man had an amazing impact upon us even into this very day. Not only with our salvation, but in the way in which the world who claims a belief in Him will even pattern their lives today. You see, ladies, the ways in which you're working today to help raise your children according to the will of God may lead some to be elders or preachers in the body of Christ, to be teachers or educators, professors in our universities. And oh, do we need that, especially in our universities, I'm going to say. It seems as if there's so many liberals teaching in our universities today that are causing the snowball effect in going away from God. And we need these individuals to rise up based out of what it is that they've been taught in regard to God, and to go into our universities, our schools, and to teach the truth in regard to what it means to live here as a servant of God. But friends, also, you never know. You may be responsible for rearing up the next civil servant or president even of the United States of America. We need a godly leader in the Oval Office today in more ways, I believe, than what we ever have. And it's been going that direction for a long time with both parties that have held that office, but even more so, I believe, in the last few years. Ladies, you are very important to God. You're important to your homes. You're important to the church, and you're important to the nation. You're important to the world, and let no one ever say that you're not. Well, tonight's lesson has not been about becoming a Christian, but rather about roles and responsibilities and blessings of being a lady in the church. We also, though, want to close this lesson with an invitation unto those who are outside of the body of Christ. If you're here tonight and you're not a New Testament Christian, you're lost in your sin. But it doesn't have to end that way. God has given you this opportunity. He has also supplied a way of redemption in Christ. But He's left it up to you to accept His bidding. Tonight, are you willing to accept God's invitation to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that you might be raised to walk in newness of life? If you're subject tonight to the Lord's invitation in any way, please come as